Hello and welcome back to In Bed with Lucy Season 4, the raw and uncensored place where we're free to discuss the nitty-gritties of the adult industry. Everything I discuss is of my own opinion and does not reflect on the community at large, as everyone experiences sex work differently. This podcast is rated R18+ and may contain explicit language, make reference to sexual assault, drug and alcohol, self-harm, domestic violence, and other triggers not limited to the previous mention. If this doesn't fit, then kindly stop now. For everyone else, well, let's get this party started. Hello and welcome to all my ladies, gentlemen, theys, thems, whatever it is that you identify as. Welcome back to another jaw-dropping, face-slapping, ass-whooping episode of In Bed with Lucy. Today's episode will be about the truth about clients. And like normal, and like what I normally do, today is going to be raw, hard facts. Nothing is going to be sugar-coated. I'm going to say everything how it is, and if you don't like it, get the fuck out. I don't really care. But you're going to sit down, you're going to shut up, and you're going to listen to what I have to say. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk about the truth about clients, but I'm not just going to talk about that. I'm also going to talk about people that don't effectively, how do I say this, wish to make a booking with a sex worker due to the fact that they're a broke-ass motherfucker. I'm also going to talk about how clients like to abuse a sex worker's trust and good faith. And I'm also going to talk about these somewhat scumbags in a very straightforward light. So this podcast is going to be controversial like it always is, but it is going to be somewhat eye-opening for people in the industry to, I guess, relate to. And it's also going to be an eye-opener for people that are not sex workers that actually will probably get a very small glimpse of the constant harassment and bullshit that our sex workers need to put up with on a regular basis. So let's start at the beginning when clients that call sex workers scammers that A, don't get what they want, B, when you ask for a deposit, let's actually discuss who the real scammers are in this situation. Seldom am I ever seeing any of these people actually effectively make a booking with a sex worker. And in fact, if we actually look into private reports made by this number, you will see that they are just a troll. And generally, majority of them are sitting at home at their mother's home in their basement, hating on life. Therefore, they need to project that hate onto somebody else. People that call sex workers or any business a scammer for asking for a deposit is a clear indicator to cease communication with this individual immediately. I make appointments with my hairdresser, I make beauty appointments, I make a lot of appointments, and they do ask for deposits on a regular basis. So do not accept when someone attempts to call someone a scammer because you are asking for a deposit. These people have every intention to not show up. I have people that have very little communication with me and they pay a deposit immediately when I ask for it. The people that are actually scammers in this situation is that person. That person has absolutely no intention on taking your business seriously. In fact, when I actually talk to a lot of workers that don't accept bookings, I'm telling you right now, they're the ones that A, don't show up for a booking, are address hunting, and also trying to find means to chew up your time if they are possibly another sex worker that is struggling to be able to cope with their lack of business. I said don't accept bookings, but what I meant was don't accept deposits. I thought I'd clarify that. So moving on to my next point, people that lash out on sex workers when you stand up for yourself and start abusing workers when they don't get what they want. This is applicable on so many levels, not just the initial deposit process, but it also will move on to even regular clientele and even maybe some clients that you may not class as regulars. But when they feel like they're not getting what they want, they will verbally abuse you and try to, I guess, discredit you as well as degrade you in order to, I guess, tenderize you in order to get what they want. These people are the types of people that you need to cut off immediately. In my experience, their behavior will escalate and they will do targeted harassment and they possibly stalk you in the future because they are not getting what they want. I will refer to these people as toddlers, but this will continue on in my podcast when I refer back to these toddlers. When a client does lash out to you, or when someone is lashing out to you through a texting process within the booking process, I highly recommend to not see that individual and possibly even report the number. You don't want to engage with people that have these ideologies of a sex worker. Firstly, the fact that they're calling you a scammer when you ask for very simple, basic business protocol, but they're also using abusive language and also trying to victimize you in order to get what it is that they want. Disengage immediately. Do not interact with this person. And in fact, I wouldn't even bother trying to have the last word. A lot of people feel the need that they need to say something and have the last word. It is not beneficial to you in any way, shape, or form. Move on. So, still carrying forward with who is the real scammer in these situations, I am going to discuss a lot of toxic traits that clientele use and do in order to get what they want. Now, we all know the saying, give someone an inch and they will take a mile. Well, allow me to elaborate on that saying and how it's applicable to us as sex workers. Firstly, never let a client overstay, as they'll become to expect it going forward. In my experience, seldom am I ever having a client leave on time. In fact, I've had maybe one or two people leave on time, and those two people are possibly now in my private life because they showed genuine respect for me and my business. The problem with allowing clients to get away with small actions like that will give them entitlement to you and believe that you are friends, you are out of work time now, this is something you want to do. It is not something you want to do. Your business is paid by time. What you do in that time is between two consenting adults. Don't ever forget that point. Now, my next point will be a little bit on a gray area because I do sometimes do this, but don't trust a client when they say they will transfer your funds and when you check your account, it hasn't appeared yet. Make them wait until the funds hit your account. Now, the reason I am saying this is when you do these transfer things, I actually do a lot of transfers, but I always wait for the money to hit my account prior to engaging with a new client. With an existing client, and I've mentioned this story in the past, I have had a regular that didn't pay me. And I contacted them and they said they weren't going to pay me. Unfortunately, I did have to get the police involved in that situation. But moving forward, you can't really trust people when they say they are transferring the money there and then. There are instances where banks take multiple days in order for funds to clear. And that is an area where you, don't want to be in because you're giving the service. You deserve to be paid immediately. In situations like that, my only recommendation is to say, okay, you can transfer the money, but the money needs to hit my account prior to us meeting. So the reason I mention this is a gray area, and this is a personal story here, is I have an existing client, which is not necessarily a regular, but extremely narcissistic. So narcissistic that he will actually do the transfer after the booking. Even though the money hits my account within seconds, it's the narcissistic traits that actually come with doing that in that way. The reason he does that is because he wants the services unpaid for at least those hours, and then he can pay afterwards. This is somewhat of a toxic way in order to deal with a business, especially sex workers that only really accept bookings at only accept payment at the beginning of a session, because in the end of the day, the services that we do are extremely intimate and they are somewhat, I guess, self-sacrificing on our part. Therefore, we require money at the beginning of the session because of the severity of intimacy. You don't want to be in a situation like I was where a client didn't pay you. And in order for me to get police action, I had to do a paper trail. What I mean by a paper trail was I had to contact multiple police departments in order to get my local police to act upon it. originally they were saying, oh no, this is a civil situation. However, it's not. It's the same situation as if someone was to put petrol in their car and drive off. It's not civil, it's a criminal charge. So unfortunately, the paper trail that was required in order for me to gain police access and police action was somewhat distressing on my behalf. You don't want to be in the same situation that I put myself in. Like I've mentioned before, of course you want to give the person the opportunity to pay, because I can understand that they probably either forgot, they were momentarily lost their brain, so you give them the opportunity to pay. It's when they don't pay is that when you start moving forward. Okay, so let's move on to my next point. How clients perform in the bedroom should not be painful or cause you any physical harm. So I actually have clients that, how do I say this without being too fucking straightforward? In my industry, we have a lot of people that have little to no experience with just common sexual acts, kissing, oral sex, fingering. I've actually talked about this in my sex podcast. But to be fair, there are some people that actually do have set experiences that they had with a previous partner that liked things a certain way, that will think, okay, this works basically for every single girl. I have multiple clients that perform oral sex that makes me feel like there is an alligator eating my fucking pussy. Like, it is not pleasurable, it is not enjoyable, and in fact, extremely painful. Now, we do somewhat have to, I guess, elaborate on our sexual pleasure. However, never give a client a false sense of reality if something is too painful or not enjoyable for you. They will keep on doing it, thinking that you are enjoying it. You can either, in my experience, you can either hint to them that you're not enjoying it. You can suggest other ways in which you would prefer a certain sexual act to be performed. But in most cases, you have to be extremely direct with a client to inform them that they are causing quite serious physical harm to you. Now, to go back on the whole oral sex and honestly feeling like I have a fucking monster attacking my pussy, it's actually extremely common. How many people think that rough oral sex is the only way to go? Personally, I have a very, very sensitive pussy that you don't have to actually do a great deal in pressure-wise in order for me to feel pleasure. In fact, the lighter, the better. I have had experiences with a lot of my clients where I have been extremely direct and said to them, I'm not enjoying this, yet they still keep doing it. So what I actually do is I lay there completely mute. If they are causing me so much harm, I actually go, ow, ouch, eat, no, fuck, no. And you know what? In my experience, they will still keep going. Even though I've expressed serious pain and discomfort throughout their act, it's like they don't give a fuck. So in my way, I kind of want to say that these people are fucking scammers to the male race, because not all men are like this and not all women are like this. In fact, some of my best oral sex has been done by a woman or by someone who is very in touch with their feminine inside. I find that misogynist men and narcissistic men think, fuck you, you enjoy it the way I give it. How do you move forward from situations like this? Honestly, I'm reluctant to book these people, and I'll be more likely to cancel their appointment if I'm not feeling the vibe. Because I've had clients that have done these acts at the beginning of my day, and it has effectively cancelled the rest of my day because I'm in physical pain, and if not, received lesions and bruising and actual physical injuries from these clients that I wasn't able to see the rest of my clients. If people that want to do these types of acts, it's probably, you got to weigh up, is the money actually worth it? And if a client tries to perform an act on you that you don't offer on your service list, speak up fast, or they will assume you are prepared to do it for them because they think they are special and you would do it only for them. This behavior will escalate. To talk about specific things, it's very common within my industry that a lot of clients want to have bareback natural sex. This meaning that they want unprotected sex without a condom. Now, I have had actual clients in my past that I've actually have been regulars that have attempted to insert their penis in me without a condom, and you need to escalate your reaction to a level that they will remember for the rest of their lives. Now, it's not only that act in itself, but even say, for example, you don't offer anal and you've got a client that is pursuing to push for anal. If you don't tell them immediately that you do not perform these acts, I'm telling you now, situations are going to get extremely ugly with this person. They do not like being told not what to do. They don't like feeling like they're not getting something out of the spectrum in which you offer. For some reason, these toddlers want to gain something from you that they think is not something you will do for everyone else. This will be a reality check for any other client that thinks they are getting a service that is not offered on their list. I guarantee you that provider is offering that service to everyone. There is no way in shape or form that a girl's going to say, oh, you know what? I don't do anal, but I'm going to do it with you. Or I don't do unprotected sex, but I'm going to do it with you. I'm telling you right now, they're doing it with everyone. It is also a tactic that a lot of sex workers will use in order to, I guess, keep a regular. They may have an extended service list, which they are prepared to do, but make it out like that person is special. I want to just voice right now, you are not special. If you are receiving a exclusive service, I can 100% guarantee you it is not exclusive, and it is something they are willing to do. Another industry standard is sometimes you have to treat and talk to clients like they are a five-year-old, which I refer to them as toddlers, because when it comes to their dicks, they somehow regress in age. Be straightforward and use basic language they can hear over their dicks, because we know once they have a hard-on, they become extremely hard of hearing and also hard to absorb information. You need to be straightforward, to the point, and use very clear and concise language. I also want to wish all the clients that push anal sex, or anyone that's a non-client pushing their partner to have anal sex, I'd like to wish them a happy Pride Month. When did you find out that you were gay or even bisexual? When a person actually forces anal sex on someone, you have to actually look at the hidden agenda behind it. This is not a somewhat derogatory comment, but this is somewhat of a reality check to people that it's actually probably your need or your wants and desires to actually progress to same-sex intercourse. So I would like to wish you all a very happy Pride Month. Now, enough about that. Now, moving forward to an industry standard. Yes, us workers do fake our orgasms. We fake them regularly. It's because of the lack of interest that clients wish to improve themselves in the bedroom. So I'm going to be moving on to my next topic of how bad are clients at kissing, fingering, oral sex, and all of the above. So I feel like I've already spoke about how bad clients can actually be at oral sex and their lack of willingness to actually improve their skills. But I actually want to go back even further and talk about how bad clients are at kissing. Now, I do know a lot of workers that do not offer kissing or deep French kissing as a service due to the fact of how bad majority of clients are at kissing. And see, the thing is, a lot of people say, well, they're coming to see a sex worker to improve. No, they're actually not. I do feel like I need to open a lot of people's eyes when it comes to being a sex worker, is that we do actively try to help people improve their skills. The problem is, most of them don't have the willingness or desire to want to improve. I've actually had so many bad kisses. I've had someone kiss like a woodpecker. I've had someone lick my face like a fucking dog. I've had people be so terrible at kissing that it comes to a point where I won't offer that service to that particular individual. It has just become so disgusting and somewhat uninhabitable for me to be able to do it with that person, because they don't give a fuck about improving their skills. They think, oh, this is the way it is. This is the way I want to do it. I've grabbed people's heads and been so direct with how to properly kiss, but yet they don't want to move forward from that. So in those circumstances, I guess I would just have to say that I no longer offer those services to people. Even when it comes to oral sex, I won't directly say, no, you can't eat my pussy. I just won't give them the opportunity to do so. I would just much prefer suck their dick with my body as far fucking away from them to be able to gain access to me that if I have to say it out loud, I will. But I would rather give them somewhat a little bit of dignity when it comes to me saying you're terrible at oral sex and kissing. Now, fingering is another thing that I actually haven't experienced someone who's that good at it. That people watch way too much fucking pornography that is glorified sex. They think this is how they finger, this is how they kiss, this is how they perform oral sex. I've actually had people literally like try to hook their fingers into my pussy from behind and then drag me up and down or push me onto their dicks, which is somewhat unpleasurable. It is not enjoyable to have dirty, unhygienic hands where people, let's be honest, men don't know how to wash their hands. They don't even know how to clean underneath their nails. Have you looked at most men's fingernails? They are fucking disgusting. It's asking for thrush. It's asking for a bacterial infection. So in cases where like these, I will generally say to someone, no, I do not offer this service, or you can put gloves on. And even with gloves on, they're still fucking hopeless at it. I want to say that I try to improve these people. And let's be honest, I am the best person to come to improve your sexual intimacy skills. However, their brains, like I said, when they've got a hard on, they regress in age. They somewhat go back to their pornography visuals and think this is how it's done. They don't want to improve their skills. They want to come and come. They just want to come to your place and come. That's all they want to do. They don't have your best interest at heart. Majority of people, if you say for 1 second that you enjoy something that's not even slightly enjoyable, they're going to keep on doing that. So this is where I say, don't look, we do fake orgasms, but don't fake it to the point where you give them a false sense of reality. In the beginning of my experience in the industry, I was faking my orgasms to an extreme where it got to the point where they were causing severe injury on me. I had a guy suck my lip so hard that it gave me a blood blister on my lip. I've had guys that have fingered me so badly, I've ended up with lesions inside and on the outside of my vagina and vulva. I've had people go down on me with such severity that I have been basically rendered useless for the rest of the day. Do I want to say that most of these people do this intentionally? Yes, I do. Because they have this misogynist, narcissistic need to basically harm a sex worker because they feel I'm paying for it and this is my right. This is going to be a jaw-dropping fact for a lot of people in and out of the industry to know that there are people out there like this. They want to know that I fucked her so hard that she couldn't do anyone else. No, you actually caused me physical fucking injuries that I was unable to work, and then I had to seek medical attention. So moving on to my last point, why do people text workers to say crude and rude comments and remarks, and why you shouldn't engage with them? Look, time is money. I've mentioned this at the beginning of my podcast. Majority of these people don't even have the money to effectively book you. And some of the times it is other workers that are struggling with their lack of business that want to chew up an exclusive sex worker's time because they think that while you're texting them, you're not getting paid. This is, I guess, somewhat of also another reality check to a lot of workers in the industry and a lot of out people that aren't workers of the industry to actually understand the, I guess, narcissism in these acts. So the people that do actually do send a lot of crude comments to sex workers also do have hidden traumas of their own, whether they have problems in their own personal life or whether they have a vindictive need in order to harass a sex worker because they believe it's not socially acceptable to do. See, the reason I say don't engage with people, like I said moments ago, time is money. You don't need to have the last word in situations like these. These people are sick. They need to seek serious medical attention mentally. So that's not your job as a sex worker. When people do send you rude, crude, nasty comments, dick pics like that, block and delete. It's that simple. You don't have to delete them if you want to have like a reference, a point of reference for all the people that have contacted you. But do not engage. Time is money. I can't stress that enough.
And on that note, I shall say arrivederci, goodbye. I hope you have a fantastic day, evening, morning, night, whatever it is the fuck that you're doing. I hope you enjoyed your stay. And if you didn't, go fuck yourself. I don't really care, but thanks for the fucking view. Don't forget to follow my Facebook page, or my Instagram, or my Twitter. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this on multiple occasions, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to my previous ones. I'm not fucking repeating myself.